Welcome to the Pastor's Thought this week. We are on Sunday in an attitude of Pentecost. So what does Pentecost mean anyhow? Oh yeah, most people say, well, it's the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's the birthday of the church, and all those things are correct. But Pentecost is something that happened in the Old Testament also. But in this particular time, when Jesus was here on earth, and he was teaching the disciples, and he was telling them about things to come, and preparing them for the receiving of the Holy Spirit individually. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this took place, 49 days after the resurrection, and Penta simply means 50. So we have Pentecost, which is a celebration. It's really a Jewish feast celebration, but it was a celebration because the Holy Spirit came upon them. As we read it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. But always think about stuff like this, because sometimes, like, churches get into things that divide them. Well, we got the Pentecost holiness denomination. Well, I don't know if Methodists are Pentecostal or not. I don't know. Wesley, we talked about Wesley. His heart was strangely warm. And that indicates that the Holy Spirit touched him. And he then realized that Christ was sufficient for salvation, and changed the whole attitude in the Church of England, in his own life, and even coming to this country. And we became Methodist. So, are Methodists Pentecostal? I had a seminary professor by the name of Fred Craddock, and he was a neat guy, and he would always tell stories. And one time we were studying in the book of Acts, and he told the story that when he was a pastor, he was doing a lecture at one of the local churches, and one of the students stood up and said, "Preacher, before you speak, I need to know if you're Pentecostal." Well, the church kind of just silent, and he looked around, and he was looking for the senior pastor of the church, and he was nowhere to be found. And Fred was thinking, well, what am I going to do? But the student or the one in the congregation continued to quiz him in front of everybody. And Craddock was taking it as an attack. So he said to the student, "Do you mean, do I belong to a Pentecostal church?" He said, "No, I mean, are you Pentecostal?" Craddock said, "Well, are you asking me if I'm charismatic?" The guy said, "No, I'm asking you if you're Pentecostal." Dr. Craddock said, "Do you want to know if I speak in tongues?" "No, I want to know if you're Pentecostal." Well, Dr. Craddock said, "I don't know what your question is." So the student looked at him and he said, "Well, obviously you're not Pentecostal," and he left. So what are Pentecostals anyhow, or Pentecostal? We talk an awful lot about it, and the word is mistaken a lot of times, because it's a feast day. It is when the Holy Spirit came, and the church is considered the birthday of the church. But more importantly, if a local congregation is alive and filled with the Spirit, it's Pentecostal. We here at Bethel, we don't, speak in tongues during the worship service and all that, because the Bible says you shouldn't be doing that unless there's an interpreter present. So, very rare is there an interpreter present, but this little church here at Bethel is filled with the Spirit of God. We got prayer warriors, and it's just so wonderful, because the Spirit of the living God in our lives allows us to have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit. But when the day of Pentecost came, we learn that the apostles were all gathered in one place. It was a day that Christ had promised. They were with him all the times he was here, and he told them to go and wait. It was a day that he promised, and that power came one day, and they were all in accord. The King James Version says, there was a commonality among them, and they all shared things in common. It's important to note that it would not be any other way. Later, a major split would occur in the church. As I mentioned, sometimes we get Pentecostal denominations. But did you know that the whole Pentecostal movement in the United States began with Methodists? Yeah, years and years they come and they think, well, we agree on the Spirit, but we can't agree on the manifestation of the Spirit. And In fact, it was a woman preacher, about 1860, somewhere around in there, and I think her last name was Phoebe. She's the one that split from the Methodist Church and started her own denomination called the Pentecostals, because she enjoyed and was operating in the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit. And it scared some people. So, anyhow, if you are a believer in Christ, you are Pentecostal, because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I always tell people, you know, when you invite Jesus into your life, you don't get him in pieces. You get him God the Father, God the Son, and more importantly, the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a wonderful thing to be a part of a church that preaches and teaches God's Word in spirit and in truth, and that we can come together and agree to disagree but still love. And you know why we can do that? It is because of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we kind of skip over something that we all should do, and an attitude of repentance. And I always said that we can agree to disagree, but we can still love, because that's what the important part is. I got out of the judging business a long time ago. I realized that I was going to be judged someday. And you know who's going to judge me? It's going to be the Lord. So I just love everybody, and I let the judging up to God. I think it's a wonderful thing to do that. There's such freedom in it. Yeah, I have my opinions, and I have my thoughts, and sometimes I think about stuff and all that, but you know, when it comes right down to it, you gotta love everybody. Jesus said, you gotta love one another. It's one of my commandments, and that's hard to do, but we gotta do it. My friend John Riley always said, yeah, we gotta do that. We gotta love one another, but we don't have to go fishing with them. Kind of lets us think, wow, we can have fellowship with one another, but we don't have to agree with what they're doing or what they're saying or whatever, because we don't have to go fishing with them. We can love them, give them a hug, and go our merry way. Wow, isn't that neat? So the most important thing is receiving Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That's repentance. It's not a change. It's an attitude. Repentance is simply meaning that you're willing to, if you're going in a particular direction in your life and you're a sinner and you're getting in all kinds, you want to change. You want to have an attitude of repentance, and you change. And, you know, I've been forgiven of my sins. I can't tell you how many sins I've been forgiven for. I probably still sin even today. Don't know when or how, but one of the things that I do for sure is say, Lord, if I did all these kind of sins today, and I'm sure I did, you know, you don't never know, forgive me, Lord. That's an attitude of repentance. And he'll help you change. And it won't sometimes be lightning and all that kind of stuff, but through prayer and an attitude of repentance, we can harness the power of the Spirit of God. So, let me ask you this. Are you Pentecostal? Well, I can assure you, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, You're Pentecostal. Well, we have a lot of things going on. Judy's still in the middle of her test and everything to prepare for her stem cell. So we're doing that. We're running back and forth to Gainesville. And so keep her in prayer. We have an awful lot of people. If you click on the website there where it says Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, you can click on the slide and it'll bring you up to all the people that we've been lifting up in prayer. But you know, you don't need a 1-800 number. You don't need a priest. You don't need anybody. Because when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, that veil in the temple was rent in two, signifying that we have direct access to the Holy of Holies. You don't need a priest. God said, I'm going to open it up to all. And all you got to do is say, Daddy, I want to talk to you. Sometimes I just say, Daddy, I need to crawl up on your lap and get a hug. But, you know, that's prayer. So you can pray silently. He knows your heart. You can pray silently. You don't have to pray out loud. But if you want to, sometimes I just pray out loud and, you know, all by myself, maybe walking through the yard or something. You have the authority to talk to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. You ever hear the key of David? Jesus Christ is the key of David. It unlocks, gives us wonderful, wonderful opportunities. So with that, we close with a prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to use as a model prayer for all of His prayers to line up with as we pray that prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God would never send evil upon us, but we need to be delivered from the evil one simply by praying. Lord, deliver us from those evil attacks. And He is faithful to do that. Well, just know that God loves you, and so do I. And I hope to pray that you, if you don't have a church home, you would come and check us out at Bethel. It's a good little Pentecostal church. God loves you. So do I. Have a good day.